This is the time where we study the Word as a Bible class. Again, if you were here Sunday morning, I don't want to use this time to lecture. I want to teach as a class with communication between me and you. Sunday morning in the adult class, we had a song to start to try to get our minds and our mouths moving early. Well, guess what? We've already done that stuff thanks to these good young men that have stepped up and overcome, you know, the butterflies and everything else that come with that. So thankful for them. The topic given to me, actually, if these two young men right here, Luke and Josh, have some sheets that I've made for, I actually made them for the kids. And last time I did that, some adults got mad at me for not making enough for them. So I've made 40. If you don't get one and you want one, steal one from a kid. Not really. Leave the kids alone. I'll get you one. Okay, we'll figure it out. But on that sheet is basically my notes. If you would, raise your hand if you want one. It's basically my notes with blanks that you can fill in yourself. Plenty of margin space there where you can write down other things that we discuss. If we didn't make enough, Josh or Luke, hold on to one of those and run back there, or Lindsay can run back there and make copies. She knows how to do it. The subject matter for tonight is why the works of the flesh are lifestyles of immorality. Why the works of the flesh are lifestyles of immorality. We read today Galatians chapter 5, 17 through 26. We read that today. In fact, I think it was Drayden that read that. Is that correct? Galatians chapter 5? Yeah, Galatians chapter 5, 17 through 26. Where it's, if you would turn there, just so you have a reference point, you can look back at it. It's important. Okay? This is where we see, actually, the works of the flesh spelled out, beginning in verse 19. Even though we read 17 through 21, that was to get some context. Verse 19 begins, what is the works of the flesh? Do we need more? No, we... Are we all right? Are we in a good spot? We can make a copy. It's easy enough. So let's read through it real quick, just starting in verse 19 and reading through 21. And it says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." So, the first questions, kid, this is, and the reason I do this, because we have all of our kids in here. Normally during school year stuff, the kids are in the back and they're getting some really good teaching from our teachers, but they don't have that during the summers. So I want them to be just as involved with learning as the adults, okay? So, how many works of the flesh are specifically listed? 18? Any other answers? 17. 17 is the answer. All right. I thought maybe I was wrong, so I was waiting to see if someone else was going to say 18. But 17, okay? You can count them right there. Is that all that is a work of the flesh? Is that it? Just those 17? Is that it?
No.
There it is. No. All right. What phrase from verse 21 tells you there are more works of the flesh than just these listed? What phrase? And the like, or and such like. Okay? So there's more than just these specified 17. Keep that in mind. If it has anything to do with these 17, in a grayer area, it's one of those and such like. Yes, sir.
I keep getting 18 also.
I'm sorry?
I'm getting 18 also.
You're getting 18 also? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. 17. And the such like's not specifically. Did I miss some? Did I get to 18 or did I get to 17? I'm sorry? Is there a New King James versus King James? Okay, New King James has 18, King James has 17. Probably goes back to the original language where the all-encompassing word actually has two, and so the interpreters went with two different ones, okay? Shame on me for only using one version. I'll remember that next time. I'll double check. So, 17 or 18, you can put that in there. But if it's for a grade, it's only 17. So, here's the question, okay? We have the works of the flesh or lifestyles or immorality. That's the question. Why are these works like, are they immoral? Okay? So let's define morality and immorality. Okay? I would love to hear some synonyms for morality.
Uprightness.
There's one. Write that down in your blank. You got room for a lot of them, okay? What's another one? Righteousness. Thank you. Another one. Purity. That'll work. What else?
Correctness.
What about something that starts with a G and ends with an ud? I'm sorry? Good. Good. Moral, morality is good. Okay, what else? Virtue. Just kind of. It's engulfed in there. Incorruptible, how about that? Or we said virtuous, upright, honest. We said that one, honorable. Okay, just, we go into honorable. Okay, what are synonyms? So are we understanding that morality is a good thing, right? Being moral is a good thing. Kids, are we getting that? Are you understanding, Caitlin? Being moral is a good thing, right? Okay, so immorality would be the opposite of that. Okay, so what is a synonym for immorality? Fill it in. Bad. Good. Well, no, I mean, correct. I mean, that's a joke too, okay? What else? Wickedness, evil. What else? Unrighteous. I like that one, whoever said that one. Thank you. What else?
Treachery.
Okay. What about something that starts with an S and ends with an N?
Sin.
Okay. Very good. So we're understanding, right? It's important that we understand these terms, especially as we're young, that moral people are good people, immoral people are bad people, right? Those are the synonyms we've worked with. So, can we logically conclude that if anything is described as virtuous, good, righteous, upright, honest, honorable, etc., all those that we listed, that is something that would be moral in the Bible?
Yes.
So anytime the Bible says that something is righteous or something is good, we can also say that that thing must also be what? Moral, okay? And so logically, we can conclude that anything that's described as wicked or evil or bad or corrupt or sinful or unrighteous, right, would be immoral. Is that correct? Okay. Yes and yes. Those were the answers to the next two questions, right? Y'all catching on? Very good. Kiddos, y'all keeping up? All right. So, let's turn over to Mark chapter 10, verse 18. Mark chapter 10, verse 18. And Daniel, if you get there, would you mind reading that?
Jesus said to him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, God."
Okay, so the next question. What is good according to Mark chapter 10, verse 18, or who is good? God. So, back to our previous questions, we can conclude that God would also be what? Moral, right? Righteous, good, upright, all those things that we said were synonyms, okay? All right, let's turn over to 1 John chapter 1, verse 15. 1 John chapter 1, verse 15. Kipton, what comes after or before 1 John?
Jude.
2 Peter, okay? What comes after 1 John? Isaac. No, what comes after 1 John? Okay, so we're looking for the book between 2 Peter and 2 John, okay? 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Josh, would you read that for me, please?
This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all.
Okay, so the question, what is light, or who is light according to 1 John chapter 1, verse 5? God. Okay? So if God is good and God is also light, we know that there's some association there, right? Some association, some wordplay. We need to remember this because we're going to study other parts of the Bible where it talks about walking in the light and not in darkness. Okay? So if we're going to walk in the light, what does that mean? Are we to do bad things or good things? Good things. Okay. So, what is God not then if he is both good and light? What is he not? I'm sorry? I heard darkness. What else? Immoral or evil or bad. Something that's opposite of good. Right? Okay. See, the Bible can be so simple if we read it. Right? It can be so simple if we go and we research it ourselves. Where it gets confusing is at times where we maybe take someone's word for it and it's actually in conflict with the Bible. And then we go and read something and we're like, what's going on here? What's going on? I thought this, right? It's because we never went back and double checked. So make sure, that's why I like to make this thing for our kids so they can see what it means to study the Bible. So we're filling in blanks. We're using our minds that God gave us, okay? All right, so next question. What about things that are not called out as one of these, but instead is called out as something God desires or loves or agrees with? Are these things moral? If God wants us to do certain things because he describes them as righteous or good or whatever, then that means that those things must be what? Moral. So sometimes we don't have a, this is what you need to do because it is good, right? Sometimes we don't get that. Sometimes we just get the commandment, this is what you need to do. We can logically conclude that the reason being is because it's good or it's moral, all right? So what does it mean about the opposite? If God doesn't like certain things, or are those things immoral? Yes. Okay? This is the basis for so many things in the Bible, folks. When we understand that the reason why God is giving us commandments, why he's telling us to do certain things in our lives, and we understand it's because it is good, guess what? It's not only good as in good for others around us, it's also good for us. All right? And so, yes, sir? No, I wasn't. Why don't you do it?
It says, and the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you for that. We also can read that his commandments are not what? Grievous. No matter how we feel about it, it's not really grievous. It's for our good. Okay? All right. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. We read this already. This was Renegade, right? That read that one. All right? We already read it. Guess what? A lot of the same terminology that we read in Galatians chapter 5 is found in Ephesians chapter 5. That's a good way to try to remember it. Okay, if you want to know what's evil, go to Galatians chapter 5 and then switch over to Ephesians chapter 5. Or do the opposite, right? There's some good there. It helps us remember. They're books right after each other, same chapters. Okay? And both of them say something like, those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom. All right? So instead of reading that one for time's sake, the Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, because we've already read it, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. Nate, would you read that if you're there?
Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor rivalry of others, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God.
Okay. Here we see a bunch of other things that will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay? How does he describe all of these things in the very first part of verse 9? What does he call those things that he lists?
Unrighteous.
Unrighteous. What did we say was a synonym for immorality? Unrighteousness. Okay? So immoral would be unrighteous. Okay? So, if we're practicing in these things, we're living in an immoral situation. Okay? Some of these exact phrases are found in Ephesians chapter 5 and Galatians chapter 5. So why are the works of the flesh lifestyles of immorality? Because it says so. That's one reason. You want to know the other reason? Because it says so. It's against what God says to do. It's against who God is. Therefore, it's against who Christ is, right? And who are we supposed to emulate? Christ. We are Christians, Christ-like, right? So how can we be Christ-like when Christ is like God, is God, if we are wanting to practice the things that he would not even dare touch? Does that make sense? Avery, you getting it? You with us? Catherine? All right. Good. Very good. All right. So, based off of these passages, specifically 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 10, because we just read it, will God allow immorality into heaven? No. I think I missed a question because it's not on my notes. What was the question I missed? Yeah, if we practice the things listed in Galatians chapter 5, 17 through 21, or Ephesians 5, 1 through 12, or even 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10, or any other things God tells us not to do, are we moral or immoral? Immoral? Okay, you really have to say it because when you mumble immoral, it sounds like moral at the same time, and so I can't tell if you're answering correctly or incorrectly. If it's incorrectly, we got to go back. Start all over. Okay? So, then, the last question was, will God allow immorality to be in heaven? No. Okay. That is the conclusion of class. All right? You want to know what's wonderful? We had enough time for me to say what I needed to say. I didn't have to cut anything out, and we got, I think, two extra kiddos in there today to be able to work on things. Thank you all for being prepared. Thank you for being ready to come up to the front when it was your time. That's the way we get things done, efficiency. So, class dismissed. We'll have a song, and then we'll have our devotional.